Hello, namaste, Tasha DeLay. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are. I'm Jason McDonald. This is going to be a reading of Garchen Rinpoche's commentary on the prayer of Khuntu Zongpo. I found it on YouTube and the audio was very difficult to hear, so I transcribed it. There are four sessions, roughly. Each session is roughly 1 hour to 1 hour and a half. Of course, my readings will be faster because there's no Tibetan. In my blog, I will have a link to the prayer, and I will have a link to my transcription of Garchen's commentary. There may be a few sections where my explanation is not totally clear because I may not have totally understood the audio. The audio wasn't clear. So any issues with clarity could be a result of that. But I believe this is probably 90 to 95% accurate as it pertains to what Garchen wanted. So anyway, here is, I'm going to go ahead and get started now. The beginning of the prayer. The way that I'm going to do this is I'm going to read the actual text itself, and then I will tell you when I begin Garchen's commentary. So the beginning of the text says, Chitta Ah, this extraordinary aspiration through which samsaric sentient beings cannot resist awakening was spoken by the primordial Buddha Samantabhadra. And then Garchen's explanation begins as follows. The inner meaning of absorption teachings, Chitta Ah, refers to mind or heart and emptiness. Milarepa says grasping to reality is the cause for samsara. Chitta refers to heart or mind, and Ah refers to emptiness. So this mind is empty of self-nature. So in the prayer, it says, although ocean of samsara is very vast and deep, to some it may appear to be endless, yet it has the potential to attain enlightenment. Khuntu Zongpo has seen that all sentient beings are endowed with Buddha nature. Like we said the other day, it is just like a frozen ice block. And the nature of mind is temporarily obscured only. In actuality, sentient beings don't exist. They are just temporary ice blocks that can be melted. That is to say that ice blocks are not like stones. Ice blocks are the nature of water, and it can be melted. That's why Milarepa said he doesn't see sentient beings. He only sees Buddhas. So, we have the potential to attain enlightenment. And this should produce joy and bliss in our minds, like waking up from a dream and realizing, oh, I can attain enlightenment. There are 84,000 different Dharma teachings, but all come down to one central meaning, which is the two truths. And the two truths, again, comes down to the ultimate truth. Then, reading the prayer, whole. Everything, appearance and existence, samsara and nirvana, has a single ground, yet two paths and two fruitions, and magically displays as awareness or unawareness. Through Khuntu Zongpo's prayer, may all beings become Buddhas, completely perfected in the abode of the Dharmadhatu. Garchen's commentary says, prayer says, may all beings become Buddhas completely perfected in the abode of Dharmadhatu. Abode of Dharmadhatu refers to the palace of the expanse of reality. It refers to the nature of the mind, or Vajradhara, encompassing the Buddhas of the three times, because it says all the victorious ones share one single wisdom expanse. And that is the nature of one's own mind, which is beyond eternalism, or nihilism, beyond the four extremes. So, Buddha Khuntu Zongpo is praying May all sentient beings become perfectly, completely enlightened in that state. May they see their own face. May they recognize their own intrinsic awareness. And then the prayer, I'm reading the source text. The prayer says, the ground of all is uncompounded, and the self-arising great expanse beyond expression has neither the name samsara nor nirvana. Realizing just this, you are a Buddha. Not realizing this, you are a being wandering in samsara. Now switching to His Eminence Karchen's commentary. Ground of all is the nature of one's own mind. Within this nature, there is nothing to be seen and there is no seer. And everything is contained within the mind's nature. Everything within samsara and nirvana is grounded within this nature of mind. This nature of mind, this ground of all, is uncompounded. Ground of all means it's non-established. It lacks inherent existence. It lacks any substantial, self-sufficient existence. There's nothing to be seen whatsoever. It is beyond expression, therefore it abides like the expanse of space. When one sees the nature of mind as it is, this nature is beyond verbal expression. It cannot be articulated with words. This is the lineage of the practice blessing lineage, where the realized mind's nature comes through the transmission. But we cannot explain with words or conceptions. So it is said, it is inexpressible beyond conception and beyond description. The outer example of the mind's nature is the sky. We can look out at the sky, but we cannot really point a finger at the sky and say, where is its boundary? Where is its shape? Where is its color? You cannot determine the qualities of the sky. These cannot be seen. When one looks inward at the mind itself, then there is nothing whatsoever to be seen. There's nothing that is established, that possessed any characteristics within the mind. That's what is meant by the ground of all is uncompounded. There's nothing to be seen whatsoever. When one directly sees the nature of mind as it is, one recognizes that this cannot be given any name. Neither samsara or nirvana, neither Buddha or sentient being. It's a union of clarity and emptiness and abides like the expanse of space. It's utterly pure from the very beginning and cannot be given any name. Lord Jigden Sumgon has said, mind's nature cannot be given any name. It cannot be called Mahamudra or Dzogchen. These are only imputation or names. And as soon as one grasps at a name, it's a mental fixation. If there is a mental fixation, one is not directly behind the nature of mind as it is. My guess is that's supposed to be one does not directly behold the nature of mind as it is. When one releases all mental fixation, then one will realize the state which is inexpressible beyond description and conception. It is transcending words and characteristics. It cannot be expressed with speech. It can only be known by one's own self-knowing, self-illuminating awareness in an instant. Whenever one sees this nature, it's realized, but it cannot be expressed by words or names. Okay, and the next part of the text, the root text that I'm reading now, says, the ground of all is uncompounded, and the self-arising great expanse beyond expression has neither the name samsara nor nirvana. Realizing just this, you are a Buddha. Not realizing this, you are a being wandering in samsara. Now I'm switching to the commentary of Garchen. Self-illuminating awareness definitely leads to the realization of Dharmakaya, which is the inner Buddha, and that can be realized at any moment, in any instance, upon direct realization. The word Buddha in Tibetan is Sangye, and the first syllable Sang means purifying all fixations of all grasping, and Ge refers to abiding vast like the expanse of the sky. The union of clarity and emptiness abides vast like the sky. This is enlightenment. Not realizing this, through ignorance, one grasps at a self, where there is no self. And depending on this grasping to a self, thoughts of attachment and aversion arise, and in this way, samsara is created. These are all the magical display of the mind. It says it magically displays as either awareness or unawareness. Now, switching to the root text, I pray that all you beings of the three realms may realize the true meaning of the inexpressible ground. I, Khuntu Zangpo, have realized the truth of this ground, free from cause and condition, which is just this self-arising awareness. Now switching to Garchen Rinpoche's commentary. This ground can't be expressed verbally, so it can only be seen through one's own realization. Only through seeing one's own awareness can one realize its nature. Then it says, I, Khuntu Zangpo, have realized the truth of this ground, free from causes and conditions, which is just the self-arising awareness. So Khuntu Zangpo refers to the self-arising awareness inherent within one's own mind. And that self-arising means it is not created by causes and conditions. It has self-arisen, it abides like the expanse of the sky, and is the union of clarity and awareness. All of those who have realized this nature, the self-arisen intrinsic awareness, may use some approximate words or terminology to point at its nature. But in actuality, until one has seen or realized this self-arising nature, one will not have a firm conviction in this nature. So in actuality, one abides like the expanse, space, and when we talk about this in terms of the view, it may seem to be very distant, and we say it cannot be pointed at with one's finger, and this is the high view. In actuality, it's inherent within one's own mind, and whenever one directly sees the nature of the mind, whenever one looks at its nature, one may see this self-arisen intrinsic awareness at any moment. It refers to one's own Buddha nature, the basis of one's own mind, and that is the enlightened Buddha. And whenever one sees this nature, one has gained confidence in the nature. So, Samantabhadra's prayer that all sentient beings may recognize this self-arising true nature. Intrinsic awareness cannot be determined through being seen. It cannot be seen, cannot be heard of, and cannot be thought of. It's beyond the intellect. It's very vast and steep. And Milarepa has said, it's just this present, ordinary, naked awareness, consciousness. So when we apply this practice, it may seem to be very difficult to realize, but it's something that is not beyond one's own mind. It's something one can recognize for oneself if one simply looks inward. If you look in your own mind, this awareness is nothing but this clear knowing capacity that knows all the actions, all the things accomplished in this world. So for example, when you have a cup of water, it's the awareness that knows this cup of water and understands its function, and that it can be drunk and so forth. So it's this clear knowing capacity, this clear knower, which is based on self-arisen awareness. This self-arisen awareness cannot be found anywhere. When you look inward and you question this awareness, where has it arisen from? Where does it abide? And where does it go in the end? You will not be able to determine that. If you look inside, you will not be able to locate this awareness. So it's very difficult to determine its existence. So it cannot be determined to be non-existent or existent. It's difficult to directly behold its nature, and yet it's there right now at present. It's this present naked awareness that can be recognized at any time. Milarepa has put it simply. It's that knowing awareness, this clear knowing capacity, which knows which actions to engage in. If you look at the awareness itself, you cannot determine it. You cannot give it any name. it cannot be seen, and if you look for it, you cannot find it. For the beginner, when you look inside at your own mind, it's this clear knowing capacity that the knower that sees all the thoughts and mental arisings within the mind. And that is what needs to be investigated. And that's what is present within your mind right at this moment. So in this way, you can understand the self-arisen awareness. Then it says, now I'm reading from the root text, it is unstained by outer expression and inner thought, affirmation, or denial, and is not defiled by the darkness of unmindfulness. Thus, this self-manifesting display is free from defects. Okay, and then Garchen says, His Eminence Garchen Rinpoche says, it cannot be said to be inner or outer, abiding outside or externally, and it cannot be said to be abiding internally. It pervades everything. You cannot say it's somewhere externally, like India, Tibet, or China, but you cannot say it's captured within. So in brief, you can say this mind transcends inner and outer and pervades everything. It's beyond affirmation and denial. And then the root text says, it is unstained by outer expression and inner thought, affirmation or denial, and is not defiled by the darkness of unmindfulness. Thus, this self-manifesting display is free from defects. And then Garchen Rinpoche's commentary says, beyond affirmation or denial, meaning it's beyond existence or non-existence. When you look inside and you look for its existence, you won't find anything. It possesses no form, shape, color, characteristic. There's nothing to be seen whatsoever. However, you cannot say it does not exist, because it is the one that creates all of samsara and nirvana, and yet it's free from any defects because it's primordially pure. Back to the root text, says, I, Kuntu Zangpo, abide as intrinsic awareness. Even though the three realms were to be destroyed, there is no fear. And then Garchen Rinpoche's commentary. The defects or faults. Generally, it is said this awareness is free from defects. It is clear and free from any defaults. It is clear and free from any faults. In practice, sometimes we are aware and sometimes we are unaware. And when we are unaware, this is where the faults arise from. This clear knowing mind, nature of mind itself, is free from those defects at all times. As it says, the clear knowing capacity itself is free from the defect of distraction. So when one sees the nature of mind itself, this clear knowing, this self-knowing capacity, one directly sees the enlightened intent of Kuntu Zangpo. And so he says, even though the three realms were to be destroyed, there is no fear. If one abides within the nature of one's own intrinsic awareness, then even if the entire universe would come to an end, then there is no fear, because even if the universe is destroyed, one's own awareness can never be destroyed, because one's own awareness has never been created by causes, and thus cannot be destroyed by conditions. It's beyond causes and conditions. It is self-arisen. It is just like a TV where a big movie is playing. It arises and then comes to cessation, and nobody has really created that. It's just like an illusion. One recognizes the entire universe to be just like that. It arises, comes to cessation, and at the same time, it is an illusion. So there is no fear. There's no attachment to the five desirable sense objects. There is neither solid form nor the five poisons. So if there is no solid form, which refers to one's own compounded body of flesh, blood, bones, and if that is not existing, then in the same way, the five afflictive emotions inside do not exist. And then the root text says, there is no attachment to the five desirable qualities of sense objects. In self-arising consciousness, free of thoughts, there is neither solid form nor the five poisons. In the unceasing clarity of awareness, singular in essence, there yet arises the display of the five wisdoms. Garchen Rinpoche's commentary, we give rise for five afflictive emotions, and depending on these, we engage in actions that accumulate karma, which leaves imprints in our minds. These imprints establish the bodies, establish the forms. So all the fears we are experiencing in dependence upon this body. So those who recognize their own intrinsic awareness, they abide within the clarity of their own mind, recognize that this state itself, which is called Samantabhadra or Vajradhara, is beyond cessation. It is beyond death if you investigate. That nature of the mind itself is Vajradhara. There is no fear of destruction, as this mind is beyond destruction. Then there is no attachment to the five desirables. That's something that true practitioners understand how it comes about. Those who don't practice won't understand that, and they have many doubts about that. So again, the difference lies in recognizing or not recognizing mind's true nature. So I'm just explaining to the best of my abilities. And then the root text says, in the unceasing clarity of awareness, singular in essence, there yet arises the display of the five wisdoms. From the ripening of these five wisdoms, the five original Buddha families emerge. And through the expanse of their wisdom, the 42 peaceful Buddhas appear. Through the arising power of the five wisdoms, the 60 wrathful Harukas manifest. Thus, the ground awareness is never mistaken or wrong. Now, Garchen's commentary. This self-arisen wisdom, self-knowing wisdom, has one single essence, and that one single nature is the enlightened intent of Samantabhadra. The enlightened intent can be recognized to be the same in nature as our own mind, just like a crystal. The crystal itself refers to one single nature, the nature of the unity of emptiness and clarity. This nature possesses five qualities, which we refer to the five wisdom. This nature possesses five qualities, which we refer to the five types of wisdom. Just like when the sun rays shine upon a crystal, then the house is filled with the five different rainbow lights. The same way, if the Buddha nature meets with bodhicitta, then the qualities of the three Buddhakayas will naturally emerge, or the five wisdoms will naturally emerge as qualities or features of this one single nature. So, this one single nature of mind possesses five different qualities, which are called the five wisdoms, which naturally arise. So all phenomena within samsara and nirvana have arisen from within this ground, and all those phenomena are reflected from within this mind, just like the reflection of a mirror. From the side of the mirror, there is no fixation to those reflections. Anything is feasible to be reflected within this mirror. There is simply no engagement or fixation. All phenomena without fixation arise within this nature of mind, and all are recognized to be illusion-like. That understanding is called the mirror-like wisdom. The second wisdom is the wisdom of equanimity. One has recognized the nature of this mind, and one refrains from engaging in any fixation. If one doesn't fixate, there is no difference between good and bad. Everything is equanimous. Everything is equanimity or equal. That refers to the wisdom of equanimity. The next wisdom is called individually discriminating wisdom. If all phenomena are realized to be equal in space, one doesn't engage in fixations. Repeating, one does not engage in any fixations. And one recognizes the empty nature of cause and effects. So whatever arises within this mind, afflictive emotions or concepts, generally one ordinarily fixates to those concepts. Then one accumulates karma, and one will be under the law of the incontrovertibility of cause and effect. And when one recognizes this nature, one recognizes that all the different aspects of mind that appear within the mind, such as afflictive emotions and so forth, are recognized to be the various different manifestations of happiness and suffering. So there is a clear distinction between happiness and suffering and its causes. And this clear discerning capacity is called the individual discriminating wisdom. Next wisdom is called the all-accomplishing wisdom. The enlightened qualities of Buddhas, naturally performing for the welfare of sentient beings through performing enlightened deeds, free from any effort, just like the sun rays shining free from any effort and just naturally. So they are self-arisen and free from any effort to perform enlightened deeds for the benefit of sentient beings. Those five qualities or five wisdoms naturally arise within the mind. Then each of those five wisdoms are divided by five, then further divided. Then one comes to 60 wrathful deities and 45 peaceful deities. Now back to the root text. It says, from the ripening of these five wisdoms, the five original Buddha families emerge, and through the expanse of their wisdom, the 42 peaceful Buddhas appear. Through the arising power of the five wisdoms, the 60 wrathful Harukas manifest. Thus, the ground awareness is never mistaken or wrong. And then Garchen Rinpoche's commentary says, from a pure perspective, if one recognizes this awareness, then they naturally accomplish, naturally, the pure land of the Buddhas. Not recognizing this awareness, some believe truly in the creation of samsara. If one doesn't fixate to any thoughts arising in the mind, then naturally the mandalas of the peaceful and wrathful deities will be established. There is no grasping at whatever arises in the mind, then the mind will transform into the pure lands or into the deities. Then the root text says, I, Kuntu Zangpo, am the original Buddha of all. And through this prayer of mine, may all you beings who wander in the three realms of samsara realize this self-arising awareness, and may your great wisdom spontaneously increase. And then Garchen Rinpoche's commentary says, it's a prayer saying, may all sentient beings recognize this self-arising intrinsic awareness. And that refers to the teachings from yesterday on the Fivefold Path, where we say you have to take your mountain royal seat of seeing your own body to be the form of the deity. So that's what's referred to. I'm taking the awareness. I'm taking its own seat. One recognizes its own awareness to be in the nature of the deity. One recognizes that one's aggregates and sources and elements are in the nature of the deity. So this recognition, they will transform into the mandala of the deity. So then one person can transform into the pure lands of all the 100 peaceful and wrathful deities. When we take the royal seat of seeing our own body and seeing the body of the deity, when we talk about awareness holding its own seat, this is what's being referred to. This is the authentic speech of the Buddha, and those people who have engaged in the practice and have gained some experience, hearing that we think this is what is referring to, they'll have a confidence in that. When one maintains a clear stream of mindfulness, That's what is meant by awareness holding its own seat. When awareness holds its own seat, then when anger arises, it will disappear upon arising. The anger will transform into Vajrasattva. When awareness holds its own seat, when one is non-distracted, one will immediately see the afflictive emotions dissipate back into the mind. Otherwise, if one doesn't take the seat of awareness, then one will give rise to the afflictive emotions and grasp at them, engaging in action, and that will further cause further samsara. It's up to oneself for one's own awareness to hold its seat. The qualities of doing so are contained within oneself, and all that one needs to cultivate is a conviction in this potential. One should not think that this is very distant and far away. This awareness of the mind's nature itself, if this awareness is maintained, then whatever afflictions appear at the moment are liberated and transformed into the deity. So one must gain a confidence in one's own inner awareness. Back to the root text. My emanations will continuously manifest in billions of unimaginable ways, appearing in forms to help you beings who can be trained. Through my compassionate prayer, may all of you beings who wander in the three realms of samsara escape from the six life forms. Now back to Garchin's commentary. Again, the emanations of Samantabhadra or of the Buddha appear continuously. So from the perspective of those whose mind stream has not been ripened and are to be ripened, various Nirmanakaya manifestations appear for them to be taped. They appear in various forms that can be seen, heard of, touched, thought of. Myriad Nirmanakaya emanations appear, and they appear in different bodies in the six realms of samsara according to the needs of sentient beings. Human beings appear as people such as our lamas, teachers, doctors, physicians, or anyone who brings about benefit and welfare of sentient beings. Anyone who brings about happiness of sentient beings is said to be a Nirmanakaya emanation of the Buddha. These are called the external Nirmanakaya emanations. So the internal Nirmanakaya emanations refers to one's own true nature, one's own Buddha nature, that pervades the mind of all sentient beings. Jigden Sumgan said, all sentient beings' minds are pervaded by the Buddhas. Buddhas are inherent in the minds of all sentient beings. This Buddha nature is called the perfection of wisdom, or the self-arising awareness. Basically, it's someone's own mindfulness, someone's own inner wisdom. It's always present. Once there is a mind. Once there is a mind, this awareness is present whether one has realized the awareness or not. As Buddha has said, all sentient beings are endowed with Buddha nature. Only temporarily, they are obscured by stains such as our own fixations themselves. And from these self-grasping minds, the five afflictive emotions arise, and gradually, we form four obscurations. 1, subtle obscurations to all knowingness. 2, obscurations of afflictive emotions. 3, obscurations of karma. 4, obscurations of karmic propensities. So gradually, the water becomes a frozen ice block. So internally, the Nirmanakaya refers to one's own Buddha nature that pervades the minds of all sentient beings. Gampopa has said, the cause is Buddha nature, the support is the precious human incarnation, and the condition is the spiritual friend or teacher. So the spiritual friend are the teachers we are experiencing in this life. These are the Nirmanakaya manifestations of the Buddha, and they are manifold. There is the arisen, the created, the myriad, and many more Nirmanakaya manifestations of the Buddha. According to the Vajrayana, one experiences through pure perception anything that brings benefit to sentient beings to be emanation as the Buddha. For instance, a tree can be seen as Nirmanakaya emanation. The tree gives refuge for many life forms, such as animals who have taken on, without choice, an inferior incarnation due to their ignorance. So the tree gives them protection like a house and so forth. So all these are emanations of Buddhas. The Buddha appears in whatever form necessary to tame sentient beings. That is what is meant with appears in unimaginable ways continuously. Precious human incarnation is the support which allows us to attain enlightenment in one lifetime with one body. So we have the cause of Buddha nature and the support of the precious human incarnation. And still, if we do not encounter the condition, which is the spiritual friend, we will not attain enlightenment within one single lifetime. All these causes for enlightenment and happiness and benefit of sentient beings must be recognized to be an emanation of the Buddha, and especially the Guru, the teacher that we encounter. We cultivate a conviction and awareness of this Guru to be the actual Buddha. So the Buddha manifests in whatever way necessary to train sentient beings, and when we understand that, we will create devotion and pure perception towards anything. Back to the root text. From the beginning, you beings are deluded because you do not recognize the awareness of the ground. Being thus unmindful of what occurs is delusion, the very state of unawareness, and the cause of going astray. From this delusive state comes a sudden fainting away, and then a subtle consciousness of wavering fear. Now Garchen's commentary. All sentient beings in the six realms of samsara. All sentient beings in the six realms of samsara are called the attainable ones, but all sentient beings are endowed with Buddha nature on their basis. And because they are endowed with Buddha nature, they are in actuality a Nirmanakaya themselves. This is when there's no more distinction between those who tame and the tameable ones. They are Nirmanakaya emanations. So all sentient beings in the six realms of samsara are endowed with Buddha nature. And if they are endowed with Buddha nature, they are emanations of the Buddha. They are Nirmanakaya emanations. Some may hold different views. Some say, I'm a Buddhist, and this is not a Buddhist, or I'm a Sakya, and this is a Gelugpa. They make different distinctions that arise from the self-grasping of a dualistic mind. And so, depending on this dualistic mind, the five afflictive emotions arise. And in this way, samsara comes into existence. So someone who recognizes that sees that the mind of sentient beings is just like a frozen ice block, but the same in nature of flowing water, which is likened to the mind of those who do the taming. So the nature of ice and water is one and the same. And upon seeing that, one will see a closer relationship between the tamers and the tameable ones. So then one will not make any distinction between certain traditions or religions, and one will not engage in any bias whatsoever. In order to escape from six life forms, Buddha taught many paths, methods, and he taught the six paramitas and the seven limb prayer, which is the antidote against the six afflictive emotions. Depending on the skillful myriad paths, the ice block can easily be melted. The suffering experience of the tameable sentient beings in samsara, what does it all come down to? All beings have six afflictive emotions, which come from self-grasping mind. The only method to escape from samsara is to dispel the self-grasping mind, and the only method to repel self-grasping mind is the altruistic mind which seeks the benefits of others. As it says in the 37 practices of bodhisattvas, perfect Buddhas arise from the altruistic mind. So the only antidote against self-grasping is the altruistic mind of loving kindness and compassion. Conventional bodhicitta is the altruistic mind that seeks the benefits of others. And we must first apply methods to give rise where it hasn't arisen and let it not decline where it has arisen. Through practice of the six paramitas in a dharma or mundane context, we engage in the practice of the six paramitas or offer the seven limb prayer, or in Vajrayana, we offer the seven limb or eight limb. Buddha has taught various stages and paths according to the mental capacities of sentient beings. Mental capacities may be highest, middling, or inferior. So depending on these capacities, the Buddha has taught individual liberation, pratamoksha, then bodhisattva, or Vajrayana teachings. So although the teachings are many, they all come down to one single rule. As it was said, do not cut the root of phenomena or dharmas, but cut the root of the mind. It all comes down to the mind of loving kindness and compassion. So only depending on that, the Buddha himself has attained perfect enlightenment. The Buddha has engaged in the accumulation of merit for three countless eons, and what he was accumulating was nothing but loving kindness and compassion. He engaged in the practice of the six paramitas, and then love and compassion became great. When you practice on the seven limb prayer, as a result of what we give rise to perfect devotion to the three jewels. So in brief, it comes down to a mind of love. When it is directed toward the Buddha, it manifests as devotion. And when it is directed toward sentient being, this love manifests compassion. This has one single nature, and that is the mind of love. Even if it manifests at this moment, it's the cause for all happiness. It's the root of the mind that needs to be cut. Gradually, one must determine the root of samsara, and once determines that it comes down to a mind of self-grasping. Gradually, one must determine the root of samsara, and one determines that it comes down to a mind of self-grasping. Again and again, it needs to be actualized and very clearly thought of until one perfectly comes to understand. This is the root of all suffering. Otherwise, if we think too much and think there's too many practices to do, this and that practice, then we experience many difficulties, and we do not really apprehend a practice or certain essence. We have to determine through all virtuous actions of body and speech, come down to devotion for the three jewels, and a mind of love for all sentient beings. Back to the root text, it says, from the beginning, you beings are deluded because you do not recognize the awareness of the ground. Being thus unmindful of what occurs is delusion, the very state of unawareness, and the cause of going astray. Back to Garchen's commentary, Garchen says, sometimes people ask, where was the beginning of samsara? But Buddha has said that there is no beginning to samsara. And there is no point in looking for the beginning of samsara because one needs to investigate the mind right now. The unaware state, the ignorant state at the present time. Right now, we must cultivate mindfulness. If we cultivate mindfulness in this moment, that is sufficient. There is no need to look for beginning of samsara. As it is said, do not cut to phenomena, but cut to the root of your mind. So there is no need to determine the beginning of samsara. There is only a need to establish mindful awareness at the present moment. When we lack mindful awareness, for example, we lack mindful awareness and have had a day of working and we are very tired, so we want to relax. So we seem very happy when we sleep. That is mindlessness. That is a lack of mindful awareness. When one possesses mindfulness at any moment, one will be very bright and very clear. And even if there is a moment to relax, one will not waste that moment without engaging in Dharma activities or prayers or something like that. One will sustain some mindfulness and heedfulness at all times. Of course, when we go to work and we get tired, and if we don't work, we don't have fortunate. It's that unmindfulness. I'm just relaxing. It's that mindless state, heedlessness, that we think, I'm not going to engage in unvirtuous deeds, but rather I'm just relaxing. I'm just being unmindful. But even that obscures the nature of mind. Sometimes we make a distinction between three concepts our minds are under influence of: virtue, non-virtue, or neutral. Lord Jigden Sumgon said, the neutral doesn't really exist. Only virtue and non-virtue exist. That is because what we call neutral actually is ignorance. And ignorance is a non-virtue, and therefore falls under the domain of non-virtuous thoughts. This non-virtue of ignorance continuously falls down onto the minds like snowflakes falling down into our minds continuously. So this continuously obscures the nature of the mind. So this state of unmindfulness, of ignorance, continuously obscures the nature of the mind. Back to the root text. From this delusive state comes a sudden fainting away, and then a subtle consciousness of wavering fear. From that wavering, there arises a separation of self and the perception of others as enemies. Gradually, the tendency of separation strengthens, and from this, the circle of samsara begins. Then the emotions of the five poisons develop. The actions of these emotions are endless. Back to Garchen's commentary. When we fall into a state of deep sleep, we fall unconscious, or a sudden thought arises within our minds. We immediately think, oh, there is self and there is other. Then, when there is self and other, there is dualistic fixation. Then there is attachment to self and aversion against others. Even the slightest cost we need to attach to aversion. For example, when you're close to a nice flower and suddenly a bee flies and you are very afraid and you think the bee will bite you, actually, that's a very small thought because you are attached to your body. Even a small harm like that, you have a strong aversion. So then you will go and kill the bee because you don't want the bee to sting you. So that is dualistic grasping and the identification we have towards our own body. In the same way, a king is identified with his country or householder taking care of his family. Anything one identifies with causes an attachment to self and aversion against others. And that is the purpose of offering the mandala, offering everything we possess, even our body again and again. This diminishes our self-grasping. All the grasping we experience mainly in dependence upon our own body. Depending on our own body, we give rise to an attachment to self and aversion against others. When we have an aversion against others, this itself is a sign of the attachment to the self. When we have a body, there's really no one who doesn't have attachment to self and aversion for the other. The text continues, gradually the tendency of separation strengthens, and from this, the circle of samsara begins. Back to the commentary. At the time of death, if we have not separated ourselves from self-grasping, even though we have separated from our bodies, still, the aggregates will be present. The aggregates of feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness. All the aggregates, apart from the body, will still be present. The suffering and difficulty we experience are even stronger than the suffering we experience during this lifetime while we have a body. Then the text says, then the emotions of the five poisons develop. The actions of these emotions are endless. And back to the commentary. Garchin says, once we abide within samsara and engage in samsaric activities, if we lack mindful awareness and we lack bodhicitta, then continuously the afflictive emotions will arise within our mind. And continuously we will engage in action and accumulate karma without an end. Continuously, there is attachment to close ones and friends, and aversion against other ones and enemies. This even manifests in small situations like attachment to food we like, or aversion to food that we don't like, or any hopes or expectations we have when we think, I need to do this, or I need to do this, I need to accomplish this, or I need to accomplish that. And then we have attachment on the grounds of our own accomplishments. Then we have doubts. Oh, this will be difficult to accomplish. That is a doubt or a fear. So those hopes and fears are also nothing but thoughts of attachment and aversion. So these thoughts of attachment and aversion continuously, uninterruptedly arise in our mind. So we engage in action depending on those thoughts, and those actions are endless. They cannot be counted. They abide within our minds like the seeds of a flower. And for as long as the seeds abide in the mind, and until the seeds come to an end, we will experience the fruitions of these seeds just like a growing flower. Then whatever of those afflictions are dominant will determine where we will take rebirth anywhere within the six realms of samsara. And there we will experience suffering for as long as these seeds remain in our mind stream. Where all that comes down to, the entire fault lies within a state of unmindfulness, unawareness, or ignorance. So the only fault that creates all of that is an unmindful mind. Because you are mindful, and this is the basis of going astray. Because you are unmindful, and this is the basis of going astray. Samantabhadra says, you beings lack awareness because you are unmindful, and this is the basis of you going astray. Through my prayer, may all of you beings recognize your intrinsic awareness. That's the end of the quote. Garchin continues, if one possesses this mindful awareness, just like blazing a fire on the stove. I'll repeat that. If one possesses this mindful awareness, it's just like blazing a fire on the stove. Whatever thoughts arise within that mind, attachment, aversion, and so forth, they will transform into mindful awareness. Just like when you throw wood into the fire, the wood itself transforms into fire. So recognize this while realizing that all of those activities in this world lack any essence. All thoughts that arise in the mind lack any true essence. So understanding that, one will recognize all thoughts arising in the mind, and they themselves will transform into mindfulness, just like firewood transforming into fire and placed in the fire. In the same way, they will discontinue to engage in activities that are unmindful. These afflictive emotions and concepts that arise are recognized within mindful awareness and thus transformed into wisdom. Therefore, Khuntu Zangpo says, may all you beings recognize your own intrinsic awareness. May you sustain mindfulness. Therefore, the line here says, through my power, may all you beings recognize your intrinsic awareness. So it's referring to recognizing one's own Buddha nature, recognizing through wisdom or mindfulness one's own face. As Milarepa says, the yogi who recognizes one's own face, he is referred to recognizing the nature of the mind. that sentient beings fail to recognize their own face and their own true nature, which is the Buddha, which is the Dharmakaya in essence. So it comes down to whether or not one recognizes this state, which is always present. If one recognizes the nature of one's own mind, then all the concepts that arise within the mind will transform and become the Dharmakaya. Afflictive emotions are transformed into wisdom, and that is referred to as Samantabhadra. Many afflictive emotions are transformed into wisdom. Failing to recognize this nature, one continues to grasp at the afflictive emotions. Engaged in karma or action, one continues to wander in the six realms of samsara. Therefore, it's critical to recognize one's own true nature. Dualistic thoughts of self and other. So, ignorance is the cause of samsara, this innate ignorance. That marks the end of section one. So now I will move on to section two in a different video. Namaste, Tashi Delay. Thank you.